guys, and welcome back to the Pressure's Off podcast from the student ministry at Grace Church, Wichita Falls, Texas. Students are under constant pressure to perform, to fit in, and to measure up, but in Christ, the pressure's off. And today, I've got Josh Fernberg and Blake Boyd. What's up, guys? Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, man. It's great.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about building Christ-centered friendships, which is important, not just for students, but also adults. And so that's our discussion today. But here's my little icebreaker for you guys. It's kind of a classic one.
Okay.
Like, this is a question I feel like I ask pretty often in student ministry before a small group or whatever. But if you could transport yourself, your family, and your friends to another place in the world to live, where would you go? Like, you can just pick up everyone you love, move them somewhere else. Where would you take them?
I mean, somewhere where there's not winter.
So the equator?
Well,
somewhere along the equator?
No.
That'll do. Right? Does that equator? Equator doesn't have winter. Jeff, does the equator have winter? See? Jeff
says no. So when you say equator, I'm not really a map guy. So you're talking about, like, you know, South America-ish?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there? Like
Ecuador is like right on the equator.
Like Costa Rica, Argentina, those places like that.
I feel they seem like they would be close to the equator.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think I'd pick probably like New Zealand.
Dude.
I've always...
Go live in the Shire.
Yeah. Just, it's so beautiful. Yeah, that's pretty cool too. You know, something like that.
Y'all could live in the, I'm serious, in the little hill homes.
So you're calling my family little. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I am short, but...
Just be little mouse people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So New Zealand probably for me.
I like it. Okay, but you said, Blake, you said no to the equator, but that they don't have winter.
Well, so. I don't know. I'm just thinking somewhere, my wife loves the beach, and, you know, I mean, something like that.
Yeah.
We don't really do cold well.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is, though. I mean, like... We went to...
you don't know where the beach is?
Well, that's not what I meant. We went to Maui for our honeymoon. And that was pretty awesome.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's pretty much every day there from what I remember is like 70s, 80s. And so that would be really cool. But I also like the thunderstorms and all that kind of stuff too. So I don't know.
Well, Maui has lots of rain.
Yeah.
I mean, it rains
a
lot there. So
maybe something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
If I could... It's picking up the whole community, right?
Yeah, your whole community.
Yeah.
Taking everybody with you.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I'm probably picking somewhere like New Zealand, too. Just so pretty. But also, I feel like I'm always picking something that has to do with Lord of the Rings.
You are.
I thought you were talking about hunting. So
hunting's great there, too.
Oh, okay.
Mountain goats, man.
Oh.
Some great mountain goat hunting. New Zealand.
I've
watched some videos.
Is mountain goat meat good?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never eaten it.
Oh.
Have you ever eaten mountain goat, Blake?
Nope.
Okay, fair enough.
Not yet.
New Zealand, or also I could see just going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, like Holly's been to Hawaii before, and the way she talks about it sounds wonderful. The weather's
pretty
just
awesome.
Always perfect. It's beautiful. Hawaii would be pretty cool. And I'm not even a beach person, but it sounds great.
I'm not really cool with like volcanoes and stuff, so that's why I would.
You and volcanoes, y'all.
Yeah, it just kind of terrifies me. Like, you're living in a constant state at any moment.
Yeah.
There could be tons of smoke, ashes, and volcanoes.
I was about to say, they had all those fires not too long ago, right?
And flooding, so
yeah,
I might.
So,
it's a little
volcanoes
when
you're
kind of landlocked like that, where you're on a tiny little island.
Man.
Yeah, maybe not.
That would be such a bummer.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely be a bummer.
Okay, let's jump into our game here. It is Blake's favorite game.
Blake, here's the thing. I always, that little music thing,
yeah.
I always, the person I see singing that is always you in my head.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Every time I hear it, I'm like, okay, that's
maybe
Caleb
it is
singing.
Me. I recorded that in a studio.
Oh.
I would totally believe that.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, Blake, it's your favorite game. Not really. We played it in episode one. Sorry. You know, hey,
the
guys.
Movie game?
No.
Or was that the secret episode that never made it?
The secret episode, the beta. This was the beta we filmed or recorded prior to recording our official episode one.
Yeah.
And it's Illustration Station.
Oh, no.
So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to give you a random object that you will have 30 seconds to use as a sermon illustration. Okay? You have 30 seconds to use this as a sermon illustration.
Okay.
And so I'll tell you when to go, and then you're just on the clock. All right? Here's the first object. The first one is headphones, like the ones we're wearing currently, headphones.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Headphones.
Headphones. Don't say anything yet. Don't start. Okay, Josh.
Okay,
wait,
I guess.
Wait,
okay.
Ready, set. I'm looking at my watch like I'm stopping a, I'm starting a stopwatch, and I'm not. I'm just going to pretend that when 30 seconds feels like it's.
So I have 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Go.
Josh is going to kill this.
No, not really. But, you know, for me, when I'm trying to listen to the outside world sometimes, it can be real noisy.
Yeah.
Oh,
and what's great about headphones is that when there's so much outside noise, and when you put your headphones on, especially with Bose, yeah, you know, you can do that noise canceling thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes I think in our spiritual life, right, we need to kind of maybe put on some headphones to get the noise of the world of what they say.
Dang.
Is important, yeah, right? Dude. And just kind of put that noise canceling headphones, yes, on and listen to what God says is true.
Man, dude, that is so
my life
good.
Has changed.
He had me.
Like, yeah, he did.
Drew me in.
So good.
Oh man, dude, I wish. Okay, dang it. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
No,
you got.
I'm
this.
Still thinking about noise cancellation headphones.
Okay. Blake.
Oh no.
Yours is a calculator. Yours is a calculator.
I got nothing.
You got this. I'm going to give you some time. Hey Josh, how's it going? We're going to give Blake a little bit, yeah, of time here to think. Josh, you have a good day today?
So far so good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Same. Okay, was that enough time, Blake?
We'll see what happens.
Okay. And go.
So, when you use a calculator and when you do equations, additions, subtractions, it's always going to tell you what truth is.
Yeah.
It's not going to give you something that you think or that you feel. It's always going to give you truth.
Yeah.
And so in the same way that a calculator gives you what is accurate and what is true, the word of God will also give you what is accurate and true. There you go.
That's good. That's
not
good.
Bad.
That's good.
That was really good. Okay, it's not fair for me to give it to you guys.
Okay.
So y'all have got to give me one. You can pick whatever you want. I obviously didn't tell y'all we were doing this, so pick whatever object you want, and then I've got to make my own.
Blake, you got an object?
A rug.
Oh man.
That's kind of hard.
There's a rug on the floor, so I thought, you know, let's see what you can do with a rug.
Okay. Tell me when.
When?
So throughout life, as a believer, we can walk throughout life feeling like a rug. Okay, stick with me here, guys. You can feel like a rug. You can feel like people just walk all over you, treat you like dirt, treat you like you're just nothing. Forget you're even there. They forget you're even on the ground. Don't pay you any attention. You know what? God doesn't do that with you. You're not a rug. You're not a rug. You are a masterpiece. According to Ephesians 2:10, you're a work of art. He doesn't walk all over you. You're a new creation. Don't be a rug. Be a painting. Don't see yourself as a rug. See yourself as a painting.
Don't be a rug.
Don't be a rug.
You know, some of those rugs are like super nice though.
Yeah.
You know, those are, anyway, never mind.
But they still get stepped on.
They get stepped on.
Have y'all ever watched one of those videos where they're cleaning the rug and how nasty that?
I have. They're very satisfying.
Yeah. They're so satisfying. Yeah.
And you forget a rug is there. You know,
yeah.
God doesn't forget you.
See, we're a lampstand, is what I always say. You know, that's the imagery from was it Matthew.
Yeah,
that he calls us to be a lamp, light.
Yeah, a light.
Yeah, that's great.
Good. All right, that's Illustration Station, guys. Let's jump into our core discussion. Guys, y'all kind of killed that. The headphones and the calculator. That was good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I was impressed. All right, guys. We were talking about how to build Christ-centered friendships. I think this is a very important conversation. Again, like I said, not just for students, but I think for everybody. I think this is not easy. And so we're going to talk about what they are, and not only what they are, but also how to cultivate a Christ-centered friendship as a student. And so let's start here. Let's start by kind of defining it. So what is it? Like, it, what is a Christ-centered friendship? What does that mean when we say that?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, I think sometimes you got to understand that it's a balance. So typically friendships, right, are about enjoying the company of the other person, maybe having some personality traits that are the same, interests that are same. And I think a world, the way they see friendship is like, am I enjoying this other person, right? Just as a person in general. But the thing with Christ-centered friendships is there's more to the story than that, right? So it's this balance of, yeah, I might enjoy this person, but also, right, they have given me an opportunity to have more of a spiritual nature relationship just than just the let's have fun.
Yes.
So it's a balance of both,
where
that's different maybe than a normal friendship.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think, too, that, you know, there's room for those friendships just to grow even stronger, I think, because I think one of the purposes of a Christ-centered friendship is to point one another to Christ.
Yep.
So it's this understanding that, you know, that the identity is not in the friendship or, but there's a freedom there for that person or both people in that friendship to be who God has called them to be.
Yep.
And to, as opposed to trying to fit in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even, and I put, it's not just a friendship between two Christians. That can be a good friendship, but between two Christians who mutually want to grow in Christ-likeness together. There is that desire. They understand the value of their faith, and they want to pursue him together. Now, why are they important? Like, why is a Christ-centered friendship important in the life of a Christian? And I want to start here because I think it's important. I think all people, all mankind is meant to live in community. Like, we are all built for relationships. They're important in general. Without relationships, we probably tend to grow more cynical and lonely and isolated. And so we also have none to build us up. We have no one to build up. We aren't really loving and we aren't really being loved. So, like, we are meant for community. We're meant for relationships. But, like, why are Christian friendships, Christ-centered friendships, particularly important?
Yeah, just to jump off that a little bit. So, you know, you had mentioned isolation, and, you know, I'm an introverted.
Yeah.
And so it's easy for me to, you know, I like being alone at times. And sometimes the dangers of that, though, is when I am isolated, my mind tends to just fixate on things. And what I've noticed is in those moments where I can just kind of disconnect from the isolation, whether that's having a conversation with somebody or enjoying a friendship, my mind just kind of tends to open up a little bit and I'm not so focused or fixated on those things.
Yeah.
And you kind of see things as they really are. You know what I mean? That maybe those things that I was making a big deal out of, maybe they're really not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Or that when you're talking with somebody else or just enjoying the company of somebody else, you see, oh, they're also going through something, and maybe what I was making a big deal out of really isn't that big.
Yeah.
And so I would say that what's important about it is it helps us as Christians keep our minds focused on Christ rather than the world around us, rather than those smaller things that we can get fixated on.
Yeah.
That our hope is not even in the friendship, but the one who created it. Mm-hmm. And so just that idea of we are pushing each other towards that.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's an important aspect of growth.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of, to tag along that, he said a lot of things that I obviously agree with. And, you know, they're important because hopefully at the end of the day, you guys are like-minded in how you want to live out your life, right? Like, so I would say, you know, if it's a not Christ-centered friendship, I'm not saying it's only focused on yourself, right? But it tends to be, what am I getting out of this relationship? And if it's not benefiting me any longer, then maybe I need to find a different friend or whatever. Where Christ-centered relationships, I feel like, are a little bit different. It's because the focus is not inward on yourself as much as it is just focused on how are we encouraging one another to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good. I think also all people, whether, again, whether student or adult, they're shaped to some extent by the people they're hanging out with. I see it all the time. You know, it's very interesting, actually. Like, I can know a student in middle school or early high school, and then I can know the group that they were connected to during that period of their life, and then they swap groups and they begin to hang out with a different group of people, and the change in their behavior, sometimes the change in their beliefs, it's obvious, and it's often correlated with the people they're hanging out with, they're spending time around. And so we're all shaped to an extent by the community that we're around.
Yeah.
And so for your core community, I think that's important, because all of the students, that are going to school each day, like, they're around a host of different people. But for your core community to be composed of Christians who share a mutual desire to pursue Jesus, it's going to strengthen you, and it's going to veer you in the right direction, because you're going to be challenging each other. It won't just be about what can I get from this, but also what can I give. And ultimately, it's going to push you more and more and more toward Jesus.
Yeah, and I think you made a great distinction there is by using the word core, because I definitely don't feel like Jesus gave us the example of every relationship we need to have is they need to be a believer.
And it's just, right? it's just not possible either.
Right, it's just not possible, especially if you're in school, you're on debate teams, sports teams, whatever, you're going to be, whatever it is, you're going to be rubbing shoulders with people. And Christ wants us to have those relationships. I mean, but it's also at the end of the day, too, where are you getting your encouragement? Who are you going to speak to get that spiritual side of your life fed? And that's why they're so important, because like-mindedness can help you grow.
Yeah. Which to some extent, it's going to touch on this next question. I'm kind of jumping ahead here in the questions I gave you guys, because I think it applies to this, but it's how can a student prepare their own hearts to develop meaningful friendships? Because here's the reality. A lot of students who are listening to this, they may have a desire for a meaningful friendship with a committed Christian, but also, like, it's important to ask yourself the question: am I the kind of friend? Like, am I the kind of friend that can, or is brave enough to also encourage this friend in their pursuit of Jesus? To push them more toward Christ, to challenge them, to encourage them, to build them up. And so, what would you guys say to that? How can a student prepare their own hearts to develop meaningful friendships?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with their personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so they got to start there. They got to kind of take an inventory, is what I would say, is of like, hey, am I desiring to walk with Jesus? And if I am, then that's when they start looking and seeing maybe who in their sphere of influence, or maybe even outside. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't know the person yet, but they need to be watching and looking for somebody who that they see has a similar desire, mm-hmm. right? So you got to kind of start there, kind of keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep looking for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you get, the starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because even if you were, you know, seeking a friendship that had nothing to do with anything spiritual, you know, you would probably start with, okay, what do we have in common? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're absolutely. A hunter, you know, you would say, well, I'm going to naturally gravitate toward somebody else.
Where are the hunters at?
where are my hunters at, you know? And so if you are going to gravitate towards that, it's that shared interest. And so I think that's spot on what Josh says is, you know, it begins with your own relationship with Christ. And then who do you see is also, you know, pursuing that as well? Who also is pursuing their relationship with Christ and takes that seriously? And okay, now that I've identified that, maybe we can start asking some questions. Maybe I can start a conversation.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I put this just to piggyback on what Blake said. It doesn't have to be this grandiose plan.
Yeah.
I put down like start small. Like
don't just sit down and
You don't have to have like this 10-point outline of like how am I going to build a Christian friendship, right? Yeah. So start small, having conversations, finding shared interests, right? Yeah. So I put like start small, and it doesn't have to be these dramatic, big, life-changing conversations right off the bat. Now, eventually, it might get to that,
right?
But it's just that shared interest of hey, listen, I love Jesus. I want to find some people who love Jesus. And let's walk through this thing together, you know, so it doesn't have to be this scary, big, you know, and that's why I think kids might get a little nervous of how to do that because they think it has to be this life altering change, but it doesn't. You can start small and work up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really good too, because all of the close friendships that I have that are spiritual started off real small. You know, there wasn't this kind of grandiose plan of, hey, 10 steps, you know, whatever, and then we're going to be super...
Just three dudes playing Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, and so it just starts something like that, something small. And then really a big aspect of that is just it takes time, right? Yeah. Kind of like what you were saying. It just takes time to develop that and then to grow to a place where, okay, now we have these similar interests and we're both pursuing our faith together. And so maybe we can start asking some deeper questions that then once you start asking those deeper questions, it makes all the smaller stuff that maybe kind of started the friendship, it makes that even better. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you trust that person more and you know them more.
Yeah. I'm also going to say though, you know, it's funny is I can think back on my own life and very similar to you guys, you know, the guys I'm hanging out with at that time are the ones I have mutual interests with.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes like asking a spiritual question is like water that just breaks the dam. Like in the sense of it sometimes it takes this one small question and be like, hey, like how are you guys doing in your walk with Jesus? That the dam just comes, it just breaks. And then everyone's more comfortable to continue in that conversation. That's not the case all the time.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, for us, I remember, I don't know who it was, but, like, when we started having spiritual conversations, it took one person who was brave enough to ask one question that suddenly it becomes a more normal aspect of your friendships because one person took a step to simply ask, perhaps, hey, like, how are you doing in your spiritual life? How are you doing your walk with Jesus? That they're like, you know, I don't know, I'm doing pretty well, but then it opens up this conversation that now down the road, it becomes normalized. Like you continue to ask this question. And at first it seemed like this real looming, scary dam and wall that you're like, I don't know. It's uncomfortable. It's so hard to ask these questions. And then you do, and you're like, oh, that's not too bad. And they're more open to it than I thought initially.
Yeah, I mean, I exactly put that down. I said, ask better questions is what I put. Mm. Not just the, like, how's school going, how's sports going, but, like, be more a little intentional with it, right? Like, how are you doing? When you've gone to church, what'd you learn in youth group today, you know? Yeah. And just kind of have a little bit of dialogue on those things.
Yeah, for sure. So where in scripture, let's talk about some scripture references.
Yeah.
Like, where in scripture can we read about these kinds of friendships or just... Like, where does scripture speak on this topic? Does anyone want to start?
I mean, the first one I put down is probably one of the most like well-known ones, hopefully. It's Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. So, you know, a proverb is wisdom, right? And so it's saying basically as you're building these friendships with one another, the goal is to help each other become more in tune, right? To what God has for you guys in following him.
Yeah.
And so you're sharpening one another. You're sharing, they're sharing. It's not just one-sided.
Yeah, and what I like about Proverbs 27:17 is they're like iron on iron is friction.
Yeah.
I just mean like it's not always comfortable. Like it can be painful and it can be challenging. Like friendships that are pursuing Christ together, there's going to be some friction, there's going to be some challenges, but also how do you navigate those and how do you reconcile and how do you resolve conflict? You're sharpening each other. And the reason I just want to point that out is because it's not always going to be, you know, mm-hmm. rainbows and butterflies.
And puppy dogs.
Yeah, and puppy dogs. Yeah. Like, there's going to be challenges.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, one of the verses that came to mind when I was thinking through this is another proverb, Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that kind of goes back to what you were just saying, is that, you know, it's not always easy, but, you know, somebody who has been through life with me, when they have to say something hard like that, I'm more likely to listen and not think that they're trying to tear me down or offend me or anything like that, but that they genuinely, whether it's a concern or something that they see, you know, that there is that, there is good in correction, mm-hmm. right, in being corrected. And so the stronger that relationship is, the deeper that trust is, I think gives us grounds to speak into some of those things that maybe we wouldn't have had if there wasn't that deep friendship.
And that was 27 what?
27:6.
27:6. What makes me sad when I think about student ministry right now, and if students are listening to this, too often what happens is the wounds of the friend mm-hmm. is actually what can absolutely dismantle a friendship because of two things. Either A, how that person delivered the quote-unquote wound, or B, how that person received the wound. Like, both are important. Like you said, what's your heart like, how is your heart postured to receive those hard words from a friend? And then also, if you're the friend who notices a friend who's, like, you know, going down the wrong path or whatever, and you want to help them get back on the right path, or however that might play out, how are you delivering that wound or those difficult words?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, right? Yeah. It's not just, that verse is not permission to just
slam, right?
Yeah. Like, that's not what that verse is giving us the ability or the right to do, right? Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, students, man, if you are listening to this, please, if you have a hard conversation with friends, don't think that's the end of the friendship. I just see it. It plays out a lot whenever two friends, they sit down and you find out, oh, wait, what? They thought this of me, or they thought of this of the thing that I did? Well, I'm done with them. Mm. They walk away. It's like, hey, slow down. You know, students can live in extremes. You guys, if you're listening, you can live in extremes. Don't live in extremes. Work through it. Have a heart that loves the person in front of you, and trust that they have a heart that loves you.
Yeah, I mean, just to tag along there with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, I put this. And it kind of goes along with what you just said, Caleb. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another's love and good works. And so it's this heart posture of you're trying to help your friend, your fellow believer in Christ. It's not you're condemning them. You're stirring their heart, their affections, right?
Yeah.
To be and act and come into a deeper relationship with
Jesus. That's a Christ-centered friendship.
Yeah.
You want them to grow in their Christ-likeness.
Yeah, and that's like love and good works, you know? So that's kind of what I thought when you were talking.
Yeah, I started just with kind of a broader command to all believers, but in John 13:34-35, when he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I started there because I think it just informs all of these. Like, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Like, you're sharpening each other. Why? Because you love one another. You're willing to have a hard conversation with a friend because you love that friend. Or if they have a hard conversation with you, you trust that they love you. You're stirring up one another to love and good works. Like, love is at the center of all of these things, that you see them as an image bearer. You want what's best for them. You want them to grow in their Christ likeness. You love them dearly.
And I think that's what's important about, you know, when it talks about the wounds of a friend, it's faithful, you know?
Yeah.
There's a faithfulness there, because the second part of that verse is profuse are the kisses of an enemy, mm-hmm. which kind of is similar to what we were saying earlier, that when I think about that second part of the verse, there's not really a heart behind. It's more of just, you know, saying something without any regard as to how that's going to come off or how you would deliver a message, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
I also want to read this one because it's a little, it's a harder one to wrap our minds around, or maybe it'll just harder one to understand, but it's from Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. It says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Mm. Follow up to that, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. Now, there's a context to that. He's really speaking about those who do not believe in the resurrection. That bad company corrupts good morals. Like, that's actually a quote from an ancient comedy, but it was like a typical saying they would have used. Like, it would have been a quote. Like, whenever Paul writes this, they would have been like, oh, yeah, I know where that comes from. Like, a very common thing that was said amongst the people, bad company ruins good morals. Here's my point, though. I know verses 24 and 25 of Proverbs 22 is talking about not making a friendship with a man who's given over to anger. But if you just extrapolate that principle, I think it's important for students and whoever's listening to consider what kinds of people are you developing close, intimate mm-hmm. friendships with? Because it's going back to what I said, they are shaping you to some extent. So like who is within your close-knit core community? I think it's important to ask that question, because if they are engaged in things that are driving your affections away from Jesus, you need to be aware of this. You need to be aware of those things, because those people that are pulling you away from Christ, they do not need to be a part of your core community. They're not driving you toward Christ. That's not a Christ-centered friendship. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just saying, yeah, I put down exactly what you said. I don't think, you know, we, even myself, but especially, you know, you students out there, it's like how much influence friendships actually play in your world. You know, I always heard this one analogy is like, and maybe you students can do this, like look at what your friends are dressed like and then look at what wardrobe you wear.
Yeah.
It's
a simple illustration of it.
It's just a simple illustration. Like, you don't even know, because you're so enveloped in that core group, you don't understand. Like, you start to look like them even if you're not trying to. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not this outward, like, oh, I'm going to start dressing like my best friend. But you just all tend to influence one another subconsciously almost a little bit. And so I think students just kind of be aware of that. Like, look around and see, oh, am I being influenced by the crowd that I keep? You know? So. Yeah.
Have you ever had one of those moments where you say or do something and then you leave and you're like, why did I just say or do that thing? I've realized, like, oh, that's because I was hanging out with people who were also saying and doing those things.
Yeah, you kind of tend to, you take on what they're doing and saying.
Yeah, and you might even be aware of it later on. You're like, oh goodness, like that, I don't feel like that, I don't feel like that was me. Like, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. We're absolutely formed in some ways by the people we're hanging out with. That's why I think verse 25 and Proverbs 22 is important, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare, like in a trap. Any other passages you guys want to touch on?
Well, so another one that I think kind of supports what you were saying is Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I just think of, you know, in my own life, I can see that as I was growing up and, you know, as I was a student in junior high and high school, you know, if that terminology of a man with many companions may come to ruin, I just think of kind of those bigger groups where I'm being so influenced by what other people are doing or saying. And then you have those situations where you walk away from those moments and you're like, what am I doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And again, it kind of takes removing yourself to see that's not really me. I was really influenced and by all these other people and what they were saying and what they were wearing. And so you see that you begin to look less like yourself for who God really created you to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on. Why can cultivating these kinds of friendships be difficult today for students? Like, why can this be a hard thing to do?
Yeah, I think it can be hard because culture and scripture don't align. And so culture may affirm something mm-hmm. that scripture doesn't yep. or that advises believers to stay away from or be against. And then I think you have things like social media
yeah.
That can encourage whether it's a culture of sin or yeah. whatever it may be. And so I think that students today that are constantly inundated with this, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, they're having to kind of reconcile, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if that's the best way to say that, but they're seeing the culture in front of them saying one thing mm-hmm. and promoting one message, but they also have scripture on the other hand. And so yeah. I think because those things aren't in agreement with each other, it can make forming those relationships more difficult.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, just a couple of things I put down is like, you know, vulnerability is scary. Mm-hmm. That's what I put down. So like sharing who you really are nowadays to also is a little scary because at any moment somebody can share that.
Yeah.
Right. And now the platforms at which people share information about other people can go out to the masses.
Yep.
And so when you are sharing intimate things about who you are and all these things, it's like the vulnerability there is a very, very different than when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that that has caused a little bit of nervousness, mm-hmm. Makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and also I just put like the busyness of, you know, kids nowadays with just, they're just inundated with always trying to do things.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, when do I have time? Mm-hmm. When do I have time to do this? You know? And so that could be like a little, not a stumbling block per se, but just like something that could, well, I mean, I've been doing this and this and this. And they, it's all these things that they have to quote unquote do, you know, like my oldest just went to college, right? Yeah. And for a college application, you guys want to be in PALS. You want to do all these, you know, mm-hmm. extracurricular things because it looks good
yeah.
on your college resume or essay and all these things. But sometimes that's just busyness in your life and it mm-hmm. and it doesn't allow you the space or the capacity sometimes to, you know, find friendships and build those deeper relationships.
Yeah, that's yeah. really good.
And sometimes it takes just weaving some of this into those busy schedules, right? Like
sure.
If you're on your way to go visit your pal in PALS at school, right? Like you have some time to have conversation. But it can also just be normal conversation, yeah. right? It doesn't always have to be super deep and super spiritual. But it can be like you understand you're in a vehicle with someone who loves you. And, you know, you can have those sorts of conversations in that way. But I also think it's because we're very individualistic, you know? Yes, we are busy and we have a lot going on, but we also are just in it for ourselves and we don't think quite as much about others. And so we're less likely to pursue these kinds of friendships that take something or it requires something of us. Like you said, like a solid Christ-centered friendship is going to require something of you and it's going to require something of them. That's why there's this mutual pursuit of Jesus because you're having hard conversations, but you're also encouraging one another and you're building each other up.
Yeah. And two, with that, like not every kid's maturity level is the same, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why I think, especially for students, especially ones that really are looking for this Christ-centered relationship, sometimes they come against just like their peers' maturity is just not, is different than theirs. And, yeah. and so it's like, you also got to be a little gracious with that too. Like, you yeah. know, just because you might be at this level and they're not here quite yet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can still have a spiritual,
absolutely.
Still have a Christ-centered relationship, but it might take some time for you guys to get more on the same playing field.
Yeah, for sure. I also put down what Blake mentioned, which is just the digital world we live in, which I think comes with a lot of challenges. One is what you said, right? Like the way in which, like what they're going to be, or the messages on social media will be contrary to the messages of scripture. But also the digital age is going to push them more and more toward reclusivity and isolation, spending more time online than they are with physical people, building communities with people online more so than they do in person. But yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, if you're listening to this, Blake, Josh, and I, we're not sitting around here saying that building or cultivating these friendships are easy. No, it takes work. They're hard. And it takes time. Like you said, like, and so, because sometimes that friend that you're really close with is not as mature as you, or maybe has the shares the same intense desire that you have to have that kind of friendship. And so it'll take them some time. Like, these things take time and patience. And so, yeah, it's not easy. But y'all touched on this a little bit, you know, for students who currently have friendships, deep friendships, how can they begin to cultivate a Christ-centered one? Like, let's say they're listening to this and you're like, well, I've got these friends that I love and they love me, and they're, you know, he's like, these are good friendships. How can they begin to, put Christ more at the center of this already developed friendship, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think the biggest one I put down is you got to start with humility on your end. You can't think that you've arrived, that you are the most spiritually mature person in that friendship. Yeah. You know what I mean? It sounds silly to say, but like, if you're coming at it like, hey, we need this Christ-centered relationship, and I'm going to lead us in that. Like, that's
like
not
a robot.
It's not a heart of humility.
Right.
So I think you need to also, it's like, start there. Like, hey, why do I desire this?
Yeah.
Like, and if I desire this and I really want this, how do I see this relationship also benefiting me rather than me maybe necessarily like benefiting that person? Right. Mm-hmm. So it's this balance of, you got to start with your own humility and then just,
now, you're not a teacher. You're a friend.
Those are very different, right? And then you got to also say, I think it does, you said it earlier, it's going to have to be, somebody is going to have to step up and start, and it has to be, you have to be okay with being vulnerable. Yeah. Like, you have to be real. And if that, this is what I would encourage the students, if it doesn't get reciprocated, don't get discouraged in that. That just might be not the right timing or the group.
Yeah.
Right? If you're still desiring that, but there's going to be a point where you have to initiate a little bit of that and be able to be vulnerable.
Yeah, it's shocking. Now, this is not all friend groups that I've talked with, but it's a question I pretty consistently ask a couple of friends that I might be hanging out with. I mean, sorry, students who are friends. I'm hanging out with these students and I get the chance to have some conversations with them. I will often ask them, hey, how often do you guys have spiritual conversations? Mm. I'll ask them that. Like, how often do you guys talk about your relationship with Jesus or what you're reading in scripture? And the most common answer I get is, never. Like they have to think about it. You know, they're racking their mind. Like, when do we do that? And they're like, oh, we don't really ever do that. And these are typically people who are students who are very close, who share this what they would consider a very deep friendship, and yet have never actually shared in these spiritual conversations. May not actually know how their friend is doing in their walk with Jesus or what they're struggling with. Their deep friendship is mostly tied to things that friendships are tied to, which are mutual interests, right? Maybe they really enjoy playing Fortnite together and they play Fortnite together every single night. And like, that's my dude, is my Fortnite bro, you know, but they've never actually developed that to in a more like deeper way. But
yeah, what we were saying earlier is, you know, how do you begin cultivating a Christ-centered friendship with your current friends? You know, I think, and Caleb, you already said this, but I think it begins with just loving one another.
Yeah.
It's easy just to love your friend.
Yep.
And, you know, that doesn't really require much in a sense of you're not having to, that's just a good place to start.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really good.
And, you know, as you look at your current friends, that may be unbelievers, believers. And I think that also going off of what you said, it takes this idea of like, we don't have to do everything now. You know what I mean? We don't have to, you know, get super deep really quick.
Yeah.
And what I would want students to know is that if you look around at your friend group and, you know, things maybe aren't it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of spiritual, like it was more of a mentor who kind of helped me along. And I think that's important too, because they can encourage you, you know, with those questions of, you know, how are your friendships pursuing Christ? You know, how are you developing? Because as when I was a student, I wasn't thinking about that at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And so also what I would say is, now that's not to say that we shouldn't think about that.
Right.
But also recognizing that you as a student, you have so much life in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so much life beyond middle school. There's so much life beyond beyond high school. Good. And while, like, it's easy for me to say that now on the other side of that, mm-hmm. but in the moment, I understand how this is your world, right? Yeah. This is everything in front of you. These relationships do matter. And so there is that tension there of wanting to be a good friend wherever you're at, whatever, however old you are, you want to be a good friend. But also understanding that the Lord is going to bring different people into your life at different
times. It'll shift and change,
and that's okay.
Yep.
It's okay that you know, who you're super close with now and you're cultivating those relationships, in 10 years, that may look completely different, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I would want, and I think when we understand that, it takes some of the pressure off of, hey, we've got to lead this and we've got to do this right, and we can't make any mistakes. And so I'm going to correct everything you're doing wrong. And I'm going to make sure, like, no, you can
start with love.
You can slow down, love one another and pray. Let the Lord lead that time. Let the Lord, you know, guide you. And hey, maybe this is a good time to ask my friends how they're doing with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a good time to ask a question, and maybe that, like as you said, maybe that brings some of the walls down.
Yeah.
And maybe that allows an opportunity for those friendships to grow and develop and become stronger.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, if students are listening to this, I would not want them to leave hearing this, like, primed and ready to, or the pressure on, where they go out and they're like, you know, hammering all of this home to all of their friends, and they're running around correcting people and... But I love what you said, starting with love and then pray about it. And then it may shift and change, and taking small steps, and, like, you know, all these things.
That's been one encouragement that I've seen in my own daughter, who's in middle school right now. And, you know, she's interacting with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our encouragement to her is just, hey, you know what? Just let the Lord lead you. And she's become somebody that some of her friends have asked her spiritual questions.
So cool.
And, you know, what's good is she recognizes that she can come to us and say, Dad, I'm frustrated because I just want to say all these things and I want to, you know, and that's a good thing. Like, her heart is that she wants this spiritual development. She wants them to know Jesus. But when she interacts with them, what's really cool to see is that she's just there.
Yeah.
She's just present. Yeah. And she's, if they have a question, they ask her a question and she answers it. And if she doesn't know it, she asks us, and then she goes back. And so she's, in some ways, become this resource just by being present.
Yeah.
And that's really cool to watch. That's cool. And a good reminder for me that I don't have to have, I can just be here and be a resource and be somebody who's willing to listen and love.
Yeah, that's really good. This last question is, I think we've already kind of touched on it, but it's important because I think it's a misperception, and that is fun and a Christ-centered friendship compatible? And you kind of just alluded to some of this, meaning, like, your daughter's present. She can have fun with her, like, a Christ-centered friendship and fun are not incompatible, right? Yes.
Absolutely not. And I think the unfortunate thing is what, going back to Blake said, sometimes the culture is dictating to you students where life is found, right? Where joy is found, where your security is found. And not all the time, but a lot of times the biblical view is different, right? Like, where is true joy found? Where is true fulfillment found? And so I do think it's a mental paradigm shift you got to also make to understand that question. Like, joy is different than what the world says joy is, right? But at the same time, like, dude, I had so many friends that were believers that we just had so many fun hobbies together, rock climbing, mountain biking, all this stuff. And there's so much enjoyment in that. Like,
you're right. It depends on how they define the fun. Like, what's
correct.
The source of the
yeah what's sure. the source of your fun? So, you know, I joke with my friends. We, you know, I'm very sarcastic with them. Yes. That's, to me, it's not unbiblical because I'm not like tearing them apart. It's just our banter.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
what's the proverb? It says, laughter is good medicine, but a crushed spirit or, a crushed spirit is dry bones or something like that.
Yeah. It's just, you're not a robot. God did not make you to be a robot. Right. And so you still have personality. You still have this humanity about you. Yeah. And so there is joy in this. He created this world for us to
enjoy
it. And,
he created friendship to be enjoyed as well. And so I think that's a good point is like he created that so that it could be fun and, you know, something that's very deep and very spiritual, you know, pushing us closer to Christ and closer to one another to love God and to love people.
Yeah, we don't want the picture of a Christ-centered friendship being, you know, you're sitting in a room, everyone's quiet, and it's a hardcore, deep spiritual conversation every time.
Yeah.
That's more the rarity,
honestly.
Yeah. You're right.
You're just doing life together.
Yeah.
Having fun, enjoying one another's company, sharing shared experiences.
Yeah.
And then when those topics of spiritual deeper things arise, let them be natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right. What is the one thing you hope someone listening to this episode right now would take away from our conversation?
For me, it's this: God desires you to have spiritual, Christ-centered friendships.
Yeah.
His heart for you, for me, for the students, for anyone listening, he desires that for each and every one of his children.
Yeah.
And so, if you get discouraged, if you're having trouble figuring those things out, or you want that but it hasn't happened yet, don't give up. Keep praying about it. Keep seeking the Lord for his guidance. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open, because his desire, his heart desire for you is to find somebody or a group of people that you can do that with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously all that was great. I echo all of that. And I think that what I would hope that students would hear is that none of us are perfect. Mm. We're not always going to do it right. We're not always going to get it right.
Yeah.
And so, man, I think that if you can just have grace for people, have grace for your friends, and kind of going back to iron sharpening iron, that it's a process that happens together, and it involves sometimes some difficulty and, you know, being forged and all that kind of stuff. So I would say, man, it's okay not to always get it right.
Yeah.
There's grace in that.
And we didn't touch on this, but I also want to just add, it's also one of the reasons why church community is important, because oftentimes like where these friendships can begin is within the church context, because you are already having some of these conversations and fun and hanging out and shooting hoops or running around outside, whatever. But it's fellowship together at church. And I think it's a good place to start. But, you know, I'd hope people would take away from this conversation is kind of what you said, Blake, which is first pray for courage, pray for patience, pray that God would lead you to develop these kinds of friendships. And then be willing to just ask one question. Just ask a question in your current friendships. Just take that first step, ask one spiritual question, and pray that God would use that to begin this process of developing maybe this deeper, more Christ-centered friendship between you and a current friend that you already have. So, Blake, Josh, I appreciate you guys. Thank y'all for joining me for this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great.
Students or whoever's listening, if you got any questions or you want us to touch on a certain topic, let us know, and we will talk to you later.